I'm sorry. Let's start with Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 4. Philippians 4, verse number 4. We will read verse 4, 5, and 6. I want to thank these musicians and these singers for everything they do to add to the atmosphere of praise and worship to our church. Hallelujah. Brother I know your name. There I go again. I hate that. Never mind, that way you'll never know who you are. There you go. Praise God. It's just like golf. It's not how bad you get in the woods, it's how good you get out. Philippians 4 and 4. Rejoice where? I thought that was because it was your birthday. Or it's vacation time. Where do we rejoice? In the Lord. How much? And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Praise God. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. The Amplified said, rejoice in the Lord always. It says, delight, gladden yourselves in Him. Again, I say, rejoice. The Message Bible says, celebrate God all day, every day. It goes on to say, I mean, revel in Him. I like that. The NIV says, let your gentleness be evident to everybody. Verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Message Bible says, make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive, because He could show up at any minute. Is there somebody that you would like to see lost? That's something to think about. There's a lot of people we'd love to see saved. But if there's someone that you wouldn't mind seeing lost, we need to take care of that before we leave here tonight. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The little boy said, oh, he knelt and prayed. He said, I want a pony, and I want to be standing outside when I wake up. And he woke up, and the pony wasn't out there. So he went down to Catholic Church and stole a statue of Mary, brought it home and tucked it under his bed. And he knelt down to pray that night. He said, Lord, I asked you for a pony yesterday. Now, if you want to see your mother again, you will give me a pony. And so I thought I'd give you that scripture in case you felt like you could hold God hostage. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Amen. I want to talk for a little while upon a subject entitled, Make the Choice to Rejoice. Now, we could already go home because probably about 95% of us tonight have made the choice to rejoice. We already feel better. Man, we could go to KFC and just fellowship all night with anybody in the building. We just love everybody. May not have when we came in, but we do now. That's the wonder-working power of God. And I just thank the Lord that I know Him and serve Him. Because without Him, I'd be lost. Hello? So we're going to talk about making the choice to rejoice. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you today for the chance, privilege, and honor of being able to worship you, to praise your wonderful name. I ask God that you bless every heart, soul, every life, every individual, no matter what they're going through, what they've done, what they've said, what they've thought, where they've been. I pray tonight, dear God, that it's saving time, that it's nourishment time, that it's healing time, that it's deliverance time, and that we can make that decision before we leave this building tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. God bless you. You're seated. I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I would not do that. But there are faces here that haven't been here in a while. Thank you for being here tonight. I mean that. We're glad to have you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's all right. That's all right. Amen. Let us make the choice to rejoice. You can either say, good morning, Lord. There's an echo in here. Or you can say, good Lord, it's morning. We've got to decide. You've heard a half empty and half full. Nobody wakes up happy and successful. It's a choice. Discipline. We talk a lot about discipline here at Landmark and in teaching and preaching. But discipline by itself will not work. And the reason being is because most of us by nature are not disciplined enough to make discipline work for us. We don't have a bridle in the horse's, we don't have a bit in the horse's mouth, and we don't have a bridle on his head yet. And discipline just kind of runs amok. Some days we're on, some days we're off, and sometimes it's green, sometimes it's red, sometimes it's a little yellow. And we don't know. And so, but discipline itself is not enough because we don't quite have a handle on that yet. And so you don't start with discipline. You cannot start with discipline. Marines do not start with discipline. But as soon as you join the Marines, you start on discipline. Am I right? Everybody may not have discipline, but everybody has desires. Before a Marine is a Marine, he had a desire to be one. And before a child of God is a bona fide child of God, he had a desire to be one. And so, right now, you may feel that I don't have a choice about discipline. Man, I am so conquered. I am beat up like a puppy. I don't have the strength of water. But you have a desire, or you wouldn't even be here tonight. And that's enough for the Holy Ghost to begin to work on. You start with desire. Everybody in the... You desire from your desires tonight are formed from your decisions. I want to take my time and talk to you a little bit here tonight. But our desires are formed from our decisions, which we have things that we want to do. We have things that we want to be. But we have other things that fight against us. What we've got to see to is that we have a greater desire to be for God than what we were before. And so the desire has got to grow. And I'm telling you right now, and it may sound as selfish as anything you've ever heard, but the grace of God is awesome. And you can ask God to help you love Him more. Did you know that? That's what kind of God we serve. Now, you know, it may not work with your wife. I mean, you may boldly go before her and say, I don't love you enough. You got to help me. She said, well, there's somebody else out there that will. But the Lord would never say that. Because what you're doing is you're confessing a weakness to Him. And He loves confession. And He will come back to you and give you strength. He told Simon Peter, he said, Simon, do you love me? He said, oh, I would die for you. And the Lord wanted to say, liar, liar, pacifier. Why? Because when it came crunch time, Simon Peter couldn't stand the test. But we know after he obtained a closer relationship with God, after the infilling of the Holy Ghost, after the day of Pentecost, Simon Peter was a different man. The Lord did not discard him. Listen, Simon Peter sinned probably worse than Judas did. Judas never denied him. He cheated on him. Simon Peter denied him and said, I never knew it. I don't even like it. You know, and so to me, that's the worst sin, to walk with him and then say, I never did. It's sinful and it's cowardice. But when Jesus came back around, he said, go get my disciples and Peter. He has a desire. He just doesn't know that he can have the discipline to do what he wants to do. And when Peter passed through the day of Pentecost on the other side, we see a man that is a different man. We see a person that is a different person. We see an individual that's a different individual. And he is never the same again. He has stood for God. He saw the fire and he saw the rain. He saw shame and he saw pain. But he died crucified upside down for the kingdom of God. For the testimony of the Lord. He became such a powerful man. Men, are you listening to me? He became such a powerful man that when his shadow would cross over people that were sick, they were instantly healed. Demons trembled at the name of Simon Peter. I want them to tremble when I mention your name. And it all starts with desire. The song says, I choose to be a Christian. Nobody's holding a gun to my head. I choose to live this way. I choose to be this way. I want you to stop that stuff. I do this because my pastor. I go here because my pastor. Hey, listen, I know I'm preaching it. But you pray over it and let godly desires get a hold of you. And you'll be able to stand alone and say, this is my desire. Amen. I almost feel like taking time out right now so somebody could make that choice. And so we need desire. We don't start with discipline. We start with desire. Now, let me ask you a very personal question. What do you want for yourself and for your family? We had a man in this church for a little while. He moved and relocated. I hope he's doing great now. But when he first came, he said, I want to be in the ministry. And he said, I want to be so anointed of God that when I pray for people, they pass out like they do with Benny Hinn. And he said, I want to be so rich that I've got towels with my name on those and I just put those over the legs of the ladies when they pass out. And I thought, let's have a talk. Because the Lord is not looking for somebody else to be God. He's not looking for someone else to be Jesus Christ. He's not looking for somebody else to be His wonderful Spirit. He's looking for servants. He's looking for servers. He's looking for humility. He's looking for people. But what do you want for yourself? And what do you want for your family? What do you want from God? If I had you to make a list right now, in 5 seconds, write as fast as you can, turn it in. 5 seconds later, there would be people that would be like this. They don't know yet. Well, we're going to hang on to you until you know. Don't get nervous on me. Amen. But I'm stirring you and I'm shaking, I'm gouging just a little bit. But I need to know, and God needs to know, what do you want from God? If you don't know what you want from God, God can't even help you Himself. That's why Jesus asked Bartimaeus. He knew he was blind, but he asked him, he said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? Philippians 4 and 4, rejoice in the Lord how often? And he said it again, rejoice. We all make choices every day. Some of our choices don't hurt us, and some of our choices can hurt us really bad. Make the choice to rejoice. Make the choice. Philippians 4 and 5, let your gentleness be evident to everybody. The Lord is near. He's close by. He hears you. He sees you. Amen. Some Christians, they don't choose to rejoice. Some choose to be unhappy. They get more attention that way. Paul wants us to understand something very important. In the scripture, the Bible said that the Lord is near. He can show up anytime. We are never alone. He said, I am with you how often? Even until what? The end of the world. We are never alone. He could show up any second with a financial blessing that will turn things around for you tonight. So I would make the choice to rejoice. He could show up and heal your body tonight. So I would make the choice to rejoice. He could show up tonight and give you victory, give you peace, give you sweet peace. He could show up and give you joy. He could show up and give you overcoming power. So what I would do tonight, while the Lord is so near, is that I would choose, I would make a choice to rejoice. Why don't you take time out for a shout right now? I don't care what denomination you are. Everybody ought to worship God. We're never alone. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, because the Lord is always with us. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Lord calls Samuel. Amen. He goes through a long ordeal. 1 Samuel 3 and 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. It was a sad day. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. I'm glad that I go to a church where I hear the word of the Lord. Amen? Verse 2, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak and dim, that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, right by the presence of the Lord. You'd say, man, if I slept right by the Ark of the Covenant, boy, I could really rejoice. Hey, you're not sitting by the Ark of God tonight. You're sitting by God Himself. He said, lo, I am with you always. I am with you. Not a wooden box. Samuel 3 and 4, then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here am I. Samuel 3 and 5, and he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you. I want you to get the picture here now. He's sleeping right beside the Ark of the Covenant. God is speaking to him, and he doesn't know it. He thinks it's someone else. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lay down. 3 and 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Probably polished the ark. Can somebody tell me who God is? Where God is? The mercy seat. That's where God is. Oh, Lord, help us. God, don't let me be in your house and not even know who you are. Don't let me sit in here in a padded seat with your presence hovering over me, with angels in here so big they got to bend over to fit in the building. Lord Jesus, help me understand and know who you are and where you are at all times. At all times. Amen. And so again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. No, I didn't call him. Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. And yet the Lord was speaking to him. Samuel 3 and 8, the Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me, I know you called me." And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Samuel didn't realize that God was speaking to him. Three times the Lord speaks, three times Samuel missed it. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us and we miss it. Have you ever missed it? Sad to say, my hand is up first. A very close friend of mine missed it bad not long ago. He came to me with this dilemma. His church was suffering from eminent domain. He had bought this very nice church, paved parking lot, security lights everywhere. His house sat on the end of the parking lot, a nice parsonage. He had all of this. And then the city came in and said, "We're going to condemn it, close it down. We're going to buy it from you, and we're going to buy it cheap." He told me about it, and I said, "Whoa, just be careful. Just don't get an attitude. Don't get a spirit. Just believe and know that God is going to see you through this." For about 5 or 6 years or so, there had been a building. It was they just left it. The building was left behind, and it was a brand new YMCA building. I mean, you think we've got a nice Y? This building, I saw it. It was nice. They're asking about $2 million for it. I said, "Brother, it is the will of God for you to have that building." He said, "Well, you know, I thought he meant what he said." When he looked at me and he said, "I believe it, Brother Marshburn." I said, "You need to go make a bid on it." I said, "You need to get your name in the pot. You need to talk to these people." And he was just all about it, like saying stuff like, "I believe it. I'm with you. I believe it." And I thought he had. If I'd known he hadn't, I would have still been hammering on his head, because I felt it strong. His place worth probably, I don't know, $1.5 million or so, and they don't want to give, and they don't even want to give him $1 million for it. He's still in court struggling with it right now. And just the other day, after that YMCA had been empty for years, beautiful, first class building. I mean, something that we just could not afford to build. He said, "They sold that Y." I said, "They sold the Y." He said, "Yeah." He said, "They sold it for $800,000. They took well over $1 million off of the price. Only $100,000 more than what they were going to give him for his money. He would have been able to just make the move." Someone else in the crowd asked him, "Didn't you make a bid on that building?" He said, "No, I was too afraid." So I want to tell you something. You're not the only ones out there that miss it. I've missed it. Others have missed it. And we'll probably do it again. But just because we miss it doesn't mean we need to linger there. We don't need to live there. You see, the one that missed it really bad wants you to miss it too. But what he doesn't understand, he missed it and he can't come back. When I miss it, I can come back. When you miss it, you can come back. All we've got to do is get it out of our heads and make the choice to rejoice. And believe the scripture when it says, "All things do work together for the good for them that love Jesus Christ." Amen? Hallelujah. Three times Samuel missed it. And so we need to know when the Lord is near. We need to know that the Lord is close by. I need the Lord to be able to speak to me, and I want to know His voice. We need the Lord to speak to us. Amen? Amen. Hey, we've got to make that decision. This is not going to happen just tonight. This is not going to happen overnight. This may not happen in a year. But you can live in a way that you make the right decisions long enough that the Spirit of God begins to speak to you, and you know His voice, and you follow His, because decision leads to desire, and desire leads to discipline, and discipline will make you a disciple, and the Holy Ghost speaks to His disciples. Am I making sense? Does anybody want to get where you can hear the voice of God? What's the point in us hearing the voice of God when we have no intentions of fully working with it, going with it, and flowing with it, and allowing it usage in our lives? 1 Samuel 3:9, so Eli told Samuel, go, lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Bible says that the word of the Lord was rare, and yet God is patient with someone who missed it 3 times. I want you to see that. He's patient. God didn't give up on Samuel, and he won't give up on me. And he didn't give up on Samuel, and he won't give up on you. Eli told Samuel, if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. The Lord came, stood there, and called as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. We need to ask the Lord to keep speaking to us until we finally hear your voice. Keep talking, Lord. I know you do. I know you will. I love you too. I need you, Jesus. Keep saying it. Keep speaking it. Hallelujah. Joy is going to come because I choose to rejoice. Peace is going to come because I choose to rejoice. Victory is going to come because I choose to rejoice. The voice of the Lord is going to come because I'm making a decision right now. I'm going through a process in my mind. I'm going through a process in my heart. I just want us to lift our hands and rejoice that God never gives up on us. David said, His mercy endureth forever. There's mercy forever. There's mercy forever. Keep speaking, Lord, and I'm going to keep making decisions, and those decisions are going to get me closer and closer. The Lord said to Samuel, what he said to Samuel, and this is what he's saying to you. See. In other words, when the Lord finally gets his voice to you, you will see. Verse 11, 1 Samuel 3:11, see. Now that you see, now that you hear, now that you know I'm standing here, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. Message Bible. God said to Samuel, listen carefully. I'm getting ready to do something in Israel that's going to shake everyone up and get their attention. God's getting ready to do something for His people that's going to shake this world from center to circumference. I just don't want it to be happening and someone saying, who said that? Whose voice was that? God is, make the choice tonight to rejoice. We all have needs. And if you're waiting for a perfect time to worship a perfect God, it will never come. Philippians 4:6, the Bible tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. When he's using the word careful means anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried or fearful about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. We need to pray about every one of our decisions. We won't make near the mistakes we make if we would pray about it first and stop just operating off of a whim and operating off of something we just feel right now, and just stop right there and call on the name of Jesus. Is this in the will of God? Will this elevate the name of the Lord? Will this make me shine like a child of God? If it doesn't, Lord, don't let me make this wrong decision. Make the choice to rejoice. The scripture just got finished telling us not to worry. Amen. Let petitions and praises shape your worries. Don't let your worries shape your life. You shape your worries with your prayer. with your fasting, with your petitions before God. Ladies and gentlemen, I have seen God. I've seen God answer prayer before I could get it off of my lips. But there are still prayers that I've been praying for 30 years that have not been answered yet. What do I do? Do I give up? No, I don't give up. My choice is to rejoice until I hear God's voice. Let me tell you what time it is. It's time for some of us to get specific. If you need a healing, you tell Him you need a healing. And tell Him where you need that healing. And you make the choice to rejoice and begin to praise God for it and thank God for it. Come on now. Hallelujah. I'm talking to grown men tonight. There's a bunch of us. Amen. Hallelujah. And many of us, we can't go 5 minutes without thinking about sex. But let me tell you something. I choose to rejoice. Some of you ladies, you're so vain. Amen. The preacher said, don't dye your hair. Oh my God, I'm going to be ugly. When the Bible says, the hoary head, the hair that grows gray. Amen. The hair that grows long. That there's power. There's anointing. Look at the anointing. Look at the power. Look at the wisdom. Amen. Men, we've got to capture our thoughts. We've got to get a hold of our thinking. And women, you've got to get a hold of your vanity. Amen. Some of you aren't teenagers anymore. Stop trying to lure teenagers. Stop trying to act like one, look like one, and walk like one. And get up and be an adult and lead somebody to God. My wife comes home. She said, I've spoken and I've spoken. I've asked and I've asked. And I'm telling you, you're in trouble when my wife comes home and says, I'm not saying anything anymore. The Bible said that is not profitable to you. Amen. And so I'm telling you to hear, not my, if you can't hear my wife's voice, then don't listen. If you can't hear my voice, then do not listen. But whatever you do, make a choice to hear His voice. If they need to be here, don't make them up here. Hello? If it needs to be there, don't put it up here. Hello? Come on now. You say, there's other churches that believe preachers will let them wear shorts and carry on. Hey, go there. I've heard the voice of God for this church. I have heard the voice of God for this assembly. Go there. But before you go, let me tell you something. You ain't going to feel it like you feel it here. It ain't there like it's here. When you make a sacrifice, the Holy Ghost is in it. I said, when you bring the sacrifice, the Holy Ghost is in it. The fire will fall upon it. We're not in this to see how shallow our sacrifice can be. If I can bring an ox, if I can bring a bullock, I'm not going to bring a turtle dove. Hello? Hello? Amen. I read with Solomon for day after day after day, there were thousands of sheep that were burned and consumed for the glory of God. Thousands of oxen. Thousands of goats, not just one, not the crippled one, not the one that they could live without, but the ones that they needed, the ones that were food for the table, but they brought them to the house of God. Hey, hey, hey! Solomon never had to fight a battle. Solomon was the richest king that ever lived. His people were great people. His warriors were warriors. They brought him gifts from all over the world. When they came to see him, they left saying, the half has not been told. Why? Because the Holy Ghost moves in the sacrifice. specific with God. You got a problem with holiness? You go to the altar and ask God to help you with holiness. You got a problem with standards? Go to God and ask Him about our Bible standards and see if the voice of God won't speak to you. You need healing in your body? Amen. There's no point in going home sick tonight. Not when I hear the voice of God. I'm telling you right now, you need the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. There's no point in going home without God. You need a miracle? Tell Him you need a miracle. You need joy? Tell Him you need joy. You need help in your finances? Tell Him. Amen. Come on now. If you need to sit at His feet, tell Him what you want. If you need Him to touch you, tell Him what you want. Instead of your worries shaping your petitions and praises, let your petitions and praises shape your worries. Make the choice to rejoice. Our desires become our decisions, and our decisions become our disciplines. Make the choice to rejoice. When Joshua was dividing the land among the Israelites, I want you to hear this now. When he started dividing the land among the Israelites, when he went into the land of Canaan, he took some of Judah's portion away from Judah. He took some of their portion away from them, and he gave it to the tribe of Simeon. Judah's portion just happened to turn out to be more than they needed. They were blessed beyond what they could use. They were so blessed they didn't know what to do with it. And Joshua said, well, let's take some of yours and give it to the tribe of Simeon. Judah's name means praise. Somebody in that tribe made a choice to rejoice, and as a result, that whole tribe wound up with more than they could spend, more than they could give away, more than they could live with in a lifetime. They had to give it to their brethren. What's your choice? What's your decision? Hallelujah. Praise portion just happened to be more than what they needed. When you're a praiser, you'll always have more than you need. When you make the choice to rejoice, you'll always have more than you need. When your name means praise, you'll always have more than you need. In the book of Psalms, David makes a choice to rejoice. In the last five chapters of the book of Psalms, each chapter begins and ends with, praise ye the Lord. That's the way I want my chapters to end. In between each chapter, David tells about what God has done and all about what God can do. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He said, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Make the choice to rejoice. Wow. Let me go through some of this. We can make the choice to rejoice because God has provided a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. I've traded my garment. I've given the spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. We can make the choice to rejoice because God provided a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Let's stand. Joy instead of doom. I'm telling you, if you'll make this decision tonight, you will enjoy the journey, not just the destination. The song said it. It's a good life living for the Lord. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8 and 10, he said, this day is sacred to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what? I don't even want any music. I don't want any. This is not God trying to do something to me. This is not the music trying to do something within me to get me to do something for God. This is all about, Lord, you sit right here and let me take over the service right now. This is all about, Holy Ghost, you just sit right still and watch. I've made a decision here. I don't need any cheerleaders. I don't need any pom-poms. I don't need any music. I want to show you something, Lord. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now listen to me. Everybody repeat after me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It didn't say my joy. It said His joy. Now what would bring Him joy? Somebody help me. Somebody, you got to help me. I can't do it like it needs to be done all by myself. If I bring Him joy, He will bring me strength right now. I want you to come and I want you to crowd around this. I don't want you to kneel down. I don't want your head hung low. I want your hands held high. I want your hearts lifted up. I want your voices crying out. I want to bring joy to the Lord. I need His strength. I need His strength. I need His strength. Come on. Join with us. Join with us. I make the choice to rejoice. I make the choice to rejoice. It's my decision. It's what I am. It's what I do. The Bible said, "Shout, thou inhabitants of Zion. Shout, Israel. Shout, child of God. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. He's great. He's wonderful. He's holy. He's righteous. He's powerful. He's my healer. He's my provider. He's my salvation. He's my hope. He's my everything. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice. My choice is to rejoice until I hear His voice. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. There it is. There it is. There it is. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, I rejoice in the Lord. Somebody reach over and pray with somebody. Somebody reach out for somebody. Somebody have faith with somebody right now. Somebody believe. Somebody believe. We so need some believers right now. We need somebody faith-filled. We need somebody power-filled. We need somebody right now anointed. There is a rushing, mighty wind in this house right now. Oh, la la bahaya. Yanda la la bohosata. Yes. Somebody's breaking through. Somebody's breaking through. Somebody's tearing through strongholds. Somebody's ripping through. Somebody's tearing down walls and barriers. Somebody's rebuking devils and demons. Oh, I say again, rejoice. I say again, rejoice. Rejoice. Oh. Yes, yes, yes. 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 Mighty God, mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God. Holy God, righteous God, wonderful God. Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. The greatest desire of Jesus Christ tonight is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. He don't want to be around you. He don't want to be over you. He desires to be in you. That's the hope of glory. That's His hope. That's His desire. That's His longing. As long as we can rejoice, because the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. Make the choice to rejoice. Shake somebody's hand. Greet one another. Welcome our guests and our visitors. Everyone that's here with us in the house of God.